welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good afternoon. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You are tuned in to the Investor Resources live radio program. Means we do call in. If you, we're already called in. We're just waiting for you to pick up the phone and dial us. And the magic number is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And we'll get you on the board. Yeah, we're going to talk about markets, stock market, bond market, investing in the markets, capital markets. That's the subject. You want to talk about your portfolio? I mean, that's the subject too. That's fair game. Got a hot tip from somebody at work or from your neighborhood financial advisor? It's something you just must have in your portfolio and you want a second opinion? We'll take a shot at that too. So if you want to participate and be a radio star today, the number is 800-465-8770. Well, as it has been all year long, the stock market has been full of surprises. And when we turn around, I was thinking about how do you really get people to understand what's going on that is beyond expectations. Now, I've never been a boat. When we were scuba diving, and I thought seriously about a boat because I still don't like shore diving. It's so dirty when you get back up out of the water. But boat diving, I mean, it gets quick in and you're clean coming out. You just got to, I mean, I have a dry suit. You just basically rinse it off and dry it and you're good to go. But just imagine you're being out on a boat and you need your lifesaver, your life vest. And worse things happen, and you jump in the water, and guess what? It doesn't float. Now, wait a minute.
Oops.
This is a life vest. It's supposed to keep my head above the water.
It says right on the label, yeah. What's going on here? Yeah.
This is your safety factor to avoid severe distress and loss of your primary objective, which in that case would be breathing.
Getting back to the boat, yeah.
But when we are dealing with a portfolio, the life vest in most people's portfolios has a name for it. It's called B-O-N-D-S.
Bonds. The bonds. That's it.
That's right. You go in and you start talking to a financial advisor. You go on a website because you don't trust the financial advisor. And so you trust an algorithm that you've never seen, don't know who wrote it. But, you know, it's the computer. What can be wrong with that? Mm. So you find a friendly website, major stock brokerage firm, mutual fund company that, I mean, you've known since you started earning money, you've heard about them. And so you trust them and you say, well, you don't have a portfolio. You got this money. What are you going to do? Why don't you start here and we'll give you some guidance. So you answer some questions. How old are you? How much money to make? How much you want to invest? How much you're willing to lose? Remember that question. How much are you willing to lose? You go through a series of 10, maybe 20 questions, and voila, here we have specially designed for you this portfolio, which happens to look a lot like 60% stocks and 40% bonds. Fudge 5% either way. That's pretty much what you end up with.
Which is what like 90% of people end up with.
That's right.
That's where everybody ends up.
So how do you control market risk in the normal portfolio? Don't invest in stocks. So we're not going to invest in stocks. To risk down your portfolio, we'll reduce the amount we put in stocks. And what are we going to do with that? Well, we put it in bonds because bonds are safe until they aren't. And this is one of those years when bond investors, and if you haven't looked at your portfolio or you don't get reports until the end of the quarter, you are going to be a little shocked with
the bond
portion of your portfolio.
They change fast, and we tell people that all the time, that pie chart you got handed relies heavily on what is called asset correlation. Bonds need to work the opposite of stocks, and right now that's not happening. Stock market goes down, bonds go down, and that's not the way it's supposed to work, but that is what's going on now, and they are not going to make any sort of change in their portfolio structure because they're waiting for the next 30 years for that to work itself out, and in the meantime, you just get left holding the bag.
So you want to understand how this works. You want a better understanding of how it works and how it's impacting the current market. One of the things that you can do is register for next Saturday's webinar. Next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we will be doing the stock market update for the beginning of April, the end of March. We have no idea what April will hold for us, but it is an end of March review, and you can... you will be able to get some information, and that is probably the best way to find out and feel comfortable about what on earth is going on in the current market. And right now, you know, we could talk about this week, but we don't know what's going to happen the week coming up, and that's what we'll be adjusting our portfolio for probably late Friday afternoon. Mm. I mean, we never at this point in time have our webinar worked out.
Now, there's too many things happen, too many things change, too many things become top of mind later in the week. So we really do wait and see where we are, what's going on, what are people going to be wondering about, and we try to get that stuff in the webinar.
So to register, go to our website, and the shortcut is irradio.com. That's irradio.com. Lower left corner, you'll see webinar, a couple of clicks, your name and email address, and you will get a link to join us. If you can't join us, you'll get a replay link so you can watch it on your own time. Can't find anything good on TV, you can come back and watch it again and get even smarter. We're talking about bonds. Now, we've discussed this for years. Mm-hmm. If you've been to any of the webinars, been a long-time listener, you should know by now that when interest rates rise, the value of your bonds go down. So yields are up, bond prices are down, and Mr. Powell makes a speech to the National Business Association, gets a standing ovation, the stock market floats higher, and everybody's thinking, I'm thinking, what on earth are they the clapping about?
What's happening here? Yeah.
He says, we are going to get aggressive about raising interest rates, which typically leads to a recession. And all those guys that own businesses are saying, hooray, hooray, inflation's going away. Yeah, but so are my profits. Whoops. Let's sit back down, guys. I don't think they thought that one through. But here we are with bond interest rates. In fact, I looked at Friday's close. This is not supposed to happen. Now, the stocks, the S&P 500, just a couple of weeks ago was down about 13% year to date. And it's been rallying because Mr. Powell says he's going to kick inflation in the rear end and knock it off its current course. I don't think that's going to be as easy as he claims it is, but be that as it may, that's his current claim. So bond prices, because he says he's going to raise rates if need be as much as 0.5% the rest of the year, which leaves 7 more hikes, which would put him up above 3%, which is where Mr. Bullard, another Fed, local, regional Fed president, says they should be at 3% now. Instead of a half. You know, that's, we're at 0.5%. We got a long way to go to get to 3 if we're going to do that systematically. Problem is, nobody knows how the market's going to react as rates get higher. In the initial phases, people think, you know, this is going to solve the problem. It's going to work out so the market goes up. But as of Friday, the aggregate bond index is down a full 7% year to date. That's your stable side of your portfolio, the 40% that's going to keep you from going to bed with fear,
panicking, yeah, at the worst possible time, and it's just not the case right now. It's just not happening. The bonds aren't offering protection or stability, either one. And yet, like I said before, they're not going to change their portfolio structure. If they handed you that pie chart because of that form you filled out that you were talking about, Don, then they're going to leave it that way. And that's just not adequate in an environment that changes as much as this one does right now.
And in the past, when the Fed has raised rates to quell inflation, or thought the economy was getting overheated, it was dealing with, on average, since 1955, an inflation rate around 3%. We're already at 8.
We would love 3%, yeah. We're way past that.
And the producer price index is at 10.
Yeah.
So, one, we have much, much higher inflation. Most of those times in the past did not include a war. They did not include substantial problems with the supply chain. They didn't include the inability to hire people because people aren't showing up at work. So effectively, with unemployment where it is, we have full employment. These problems didn't exist. So how are they going to thread this needle and not cause a recession, which the Fed believes is possible? The last time they did this with inflation anywhere close to where we are now was in 1980, when inflation was 12.9, not 8. And that led to a recession in the first part of President Reagan's term, for which he was blamed. However, he got a lot of credit for the tax cuts, which he implemented in the following year, that really led to a massive long-term period of economic growth.
Right, and right now, unfortunately, we don't see any massive tax cuts coming.
Oh, I mean, nobody's been talking about, well, except the short-term gas tax cuts. For a month,
right,
we're going to cut gas tax. Yeah.
Except here, not in Washington State. You know, we're not going to do anything crazy like that. They're going to just keep things rolling as they are. We are right up against our first break here, Don. Let's go ahead and take a break. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday is our April stock market update. You can register for that by going to IRIRadio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. Just go to the webinar page, and there's a registration link. Just give that a click. You're going to get an email back, and there's a link in there. And next Saturday morning at 9 a.m., just click that link, and you will be live online with us. You'll be able to see our charts, see what we're talking about. We're going to give you an idea of what we think's going on in the market right now. And we always have plenty of time to answer all of your questions. We always get such great questions from the people that that sign on, and we go through them all. So if you have questions about the economy or the market or about individual securities you'd like a second opinion on, it's a good time to get that and be able to see what it is that we're looking at when we're giving you the our take on what's going on. So again, you can register for that at IRIRadio.com. If you'd like to talk to us here this afternoon, we would love to talk to you. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Hey, well, all right, sir. Here we go there. What are they going to give for? I have a $600 down here now, 10 and now, 25 and now, 35 and now, 50 and now, 60.
Well, it's an auction market, and one of the things about auction markets, you need both buyers and sellers. And in the bond market, there haven't been very many buyers. The sellers have been looking for them, and there aren't very many around who want to buy their stuff.
We always talk about who's in control, the buyers or the sellers. Right now in the bond market, the sellers are in control.
That's right. And surprising, that's not quite 50%, but so far this year, as of Friday's close, the bond market loss year to date is almost 50% greater than the stock market S&P loss year to date. I mean, that's unusual.
Very much.
And
yeah,
because
much.
It's unusual, most people and probably most financial advisors looking back over the long haul are going to say, yeah, but this averages out. I mean, this isn't going to last. And we know the war is going to end and inflation will come to an end. So quit worrying about it. But we don't know any of those things. I mean, those are all prayers we have. The market, the war will end and the mess that's occurred will subside, be corrected, and then inflation will go away. someday. We just don't know.
Yeah, when is the question? And that's what can do so much damage to your portfolio, is just banking on, well, this is probably going to be quick. Inflation is going to be transient, not to worry. It's all going to go away. And it's like, you know, two or three years later, you're like, yeah, it didn't quite go away yet. And it's starting to get painful.
So that bond loss I was talking about is the Bloomberg Global Aggregate Index. And it's a benchmark for both government and corporate debt. So that's what's down 7% year to date. That's the biggest decline from data stretching back to 1990. I mean, it's even basically on a relative basis, it's even worse than back in the 2008 crisis. And investors in bonds as a total around the world have lost, $2.6 trillion dollars. Just a little bit of change there that is gone off the balance sheets. So we don't know what's going to happen.
That's hard, yeah.
Fed doesn't know what's going to happen. I think if anybody's praying about what's going to happen, it's the Fed and the members of the voting board there saying, boy, we hope this thing gets cleaned up. Who caused this mess, by the way?
Right. Wait a minute. Was that us? Yeah, I think. are we about a year behind schedule here? And that's part of the problem. The Fed's, you can see it all over. Famous phrase, they're behind the curve. They are not where they should be already. And so they have to catch up. And in the meantime, things are going to get a little more out of control on the inflationary side before the Fed gets back to where they should have been already. So it's,
you want to be up to date in the market, register for our webinar, IRIradio.com. It's a freebie. If you can't attend next Saturday at 9 a.m., we will send you a replay link as long as you have registered. It's a freebie. I usually get that replay link out over the weekend.
Right.
We usually have to clean up the first few minutes of the recording, but that doesn't take long. So the safe haven of Treasury securities, that's usually a good portion of that bond segment of your portfolio, has been undermined significantly when you add the length of time to maturity, or what's called duration risk.
Correct.
Trying to get some compensation for investing in bonds, people have extended the duration, typically out into the 20-year range, where they could get 1 or 1.5%, depending on the time period when they bought them. Now, that rate's now gone up to 2.5, which means your investment has declined in value. And the further out you are, the bigger the decline. The other area seeking yield to be in bonds as a risk management tool has been to buy junk bonds. You know, we call them high yield just so people don't get scared off.
Nobody says junk anymore. Yeah. It's a high yield bond, right.
But if you're going to be honest about what you're buying, you're buying bonds from companies who credit ratings suggest they could be in bankruptcy any time now. So in which case, your interest payment goes away.
They're likely to default. And that's why they're paying so much, because they want you to understand you're getting paid for the additional risk you're taking. But people look at them too often just like a bond, like it's going to just pay off no matter what. And that is definitely not necessarily so.
Yeah, so if both of those have been added to your portfolio as part of your risk management solution, which is now collapsing, maybe you should be on our webinar on Saturday morning. Register for it at IRIradio.com. If you want to talk to us today, we have an open phone line. That number is 800-465-8770. We'll talk about, see if we can answer your question. Talking about bonds, which seems to be dominating our early segments here, this is the worst we have seen bonds perform since 1980. And I just about an hour ago, I finished up my end of week risk on, risk off report for the my advisor subscribers. And one of the things I commented on is that most investors, and in fact, most financial advisors, weren't putting any serious money into the markets in 1980 or in the 70s. In fact, most advisors, we got repopulated. You know about rebalancing. You've heard that term.
Absolutely.
The 2008 and 2009 market crash with advisors following modern portfolio theory, best practice stuff. Everybody gets 60-40 portfolio. And it didn't work. And they lost tons of money. And the finger pointing at them saying, I thought you knew what you were going to do, that you weren't going to let this happen to me. The investment advisor, the financial advisor industry lost tons of advisors who said, I don't need to put up with this. I don't know how to answer it. I don't have an answer. And I don't like the personal accusations. I'm going to find a new career.
I'm going to go do something else. Yeah. But during, like you said, Don, during the great financial crisis, that was the financial services industry. That was the hardest hit sector in America. So there was a huge amount of, quote, advisors that ceased to be advisors shortly thereafter.
So today, if you're going to talk to your financial advisor, the odds are very good that unless he or she has gray hair, well, if she has, you won't know because, I mean, you know, they don't want it to show as a general rule. But assuming she has gray hair and he does, they might be old enough to have been in the market and watched that market go down. They, in fact, might be old enough to remember the market of the 80s, the bear market that was caused by Paul Volcker raising interest rates. He had to raise rates to 13% to kill inflation. Now, mortgage rates was 79 or 80, but mortgage rates, I know because I had a client call and say, I just got approved for this loan for my new house. Are you sitting down? You should be. It's 21% for a 30-year mortgage loan.
Don, can you imagine someone getting that news from their mortgage broker today? How about 21%? What do you think? We're talking about people panicking because it crossed above 4%. It's like, nah, that's nothing. How about 21?
Yeah, well, Paul Volcker knew how to stop inflation. I'm not sure that Mr. Powell has figured it out yet. He needs to read a little more history about what Mr. Volcker did and be willing to take the pain. This is not going to come without some financial pain domestically and internationally. But this steepening yield curve, I mean, we're not quite to what's called an inverted curve, but we only need a few more basis points. And this thing goes upside down. And we have never had an inverted yield curve that I'm aware of that did not lead to a recession, the big R word.
Yeah, there are plenty of writers right now saying, well, you know, that inverted yield curve doesn't have the same sway over where we're going than it used to. You know, it's different this time. And it's like, well, if you look back, it's probably not. So it doesn't bode well for the economy coming up.
So you want to talk to us today when the phone line's open at 800-465-8770. But you want to be sure to register for Saturday's webinar. What's going on in the abnormal function of the markets right now is something you should be up to date on. And we are going to do our best to make that possible for you on Saturday, April 2nd at 9 o'clock. Register at iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. So for the standard portfolio, which is, unless you're our clients, most of you out there, you have something close to a 60-40 stock bond account.
Right.
And given where we are in the economy, high inflation, rising interest rates makes growth stocks and technology stocks worth less money. It's math. Now, it may take a week or a couple of months, maybe a quarter or two possibly, for Mr. Market, as Warren Buffett calls it, some time to think about this and realize, hey, this isn't working too well, and for prices to begin dropping. And there is uncertainty right now about whether or not this last 2 weeks of rally is nothing more than a buy-the-dip rally in a longer trending bear market. And only time will tell.
It easily could be. Sure, it could be just a little relief rally where people are thinking, "Well, this has been overdone. Let's check this out." And if you go back and you look at the tech bubble bust back in 2001, this happened over and over again. There were significant rallies only to see them vaporize, and we're going to hit new lows again, which is why. You want to talk about a market you can't go to sleep on. This is a market you pretty much can't have lunch on. Don't even have lunch, because it could change significantly between when you ordered and when you were done. So you really need to stay on top of it, because things are moving faster than ever and in completely unanticipated directions. But we are anticipating a break here. We should go ahead and get out here at the bottom of the hour. I'd like to remind everyone we do have a webinar coming up next Saturday, April 2nd, 9 a.m. You can register for that at irradio.com. And if you'd like to get our weekly email newsletter, The Week in Review, you can sign up for that by sending us an email. Send that to help@irradio.com. That is help@irradio.com. Just put Week in Review in the subject line, and we need your first and last name in the body of the email. We'll get you signed up for that, and you'll begin receiving that on Monday. If you would like to talk to us here this afternoon, we'd love to talk to you. Give us a call at 800-465-8770. It's 800-465-8770. You are listening to Investor Resources here on AM 770 KTTH. Stay with us. We will be right back.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine.
There'll be a little rain that falls into the market. That just means that we've got some bad down days, and we wait for the flowers to bloom. It takes a little time. The market goes down much faster than it does on the way back up. I just got some email feedback from an email I did late yesterday, and it's really on topic with what we're doing here. So, Perry, I'm not going to trash our agenda. I'm just going to do a rabbit trail here. But you've seen me do that before. So we've got rising rates, and that's supposed to be good. So growth stocks and tech have rallied. But how are they going to make new highs when the valuation process is devaluing the stock price? I mean, I don't know how that's going to happen. So chop, 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 chop. That's what we've been getting all quarter long. Actually, we've been getting chop, chop for the last almost 6 months in the market. The last highs for most of the market were November. We did have the S&P spend 2 days at a new high in early January, and it's all been downhill since then. But one of the things that is happening that you are aware of, because you go to the grocery store and you see all these prices rising. I mean, I called the appliance store about replacing something that I replaced not that long ago, and it's up 40% in 3 years. This is an appliance. I mean, it requires steel and aluminum. Both of those are more expensive now. Plus, they can't get supplies. And so I'm told, well, it's 3 months. I mean, you can pay for it now, but it'll be 3 months before it's likely to even be shipped to us. Okay, well, maybe I'll get along with what I've got. But the grocery store, we can't get along with that without going to the grocery store. The average grocery store has enough stock to last about 2.5 days, and then it's gone. So the supply chain had better work, and that's not just the trucks in the local neighborhood. It's getting the stuff from around the world. Food inflation is a serious problem, because if the supply chain breaks down, you get civil unrest. And the last time we saw that, just a few years back over in Egypt, they couldn't get wheat. What they did get was priced so high nobody could afford it. And they ended up with, I forget what they called that riot, basically, national riot that they had. But that took down their government at the time. And we could see that happening in emerging markets again. And I stumbled across this. We know that Russia and the Ukraine are breadbasket to Europe. We have a breadbasket here in the United States. It's the Midwest. And it's been years since I drove through there, but when I, in 08 and 09, when I drove through getting to Kansas City, I didn't realize how much corn is grown in the Midwest. But for miles and hours, that's all you see is corn in the fields. Well, a good portion of our agricultural land happens to be owned by China. They have serious crop problems in China because of bad weather. And if they really start running out of food, and the food is missing from Russia and Ukraine, and we still have some crops, where's our stuff going to go? I'm just asking. I don't know. Maybe it'll stay here. But food inflation's a problem. It's possible, but it's hard. It creates some tax issues to invest in food production, unless you're a farmer. But as far as securities are concerned, most people don't like the tax issues that come along with investing in agricultural stuff. There aren't too many choices to do that. But how is the Fed going to stop that stuff? I mean, we don't know, but food inflation's in the numbers, and they got to back it out some way or another, or tamp it down. You want to talk to us today? The magic number is 800-465-8770. But you should be registering for Saturday's webinar, IRIRadio.com, IRIRadio.com. So given where we are in the market, the likelihood of a slowing economy means lower profits. Lower profits and higher interest rates mean that stock prices should be working their way down sometime later this year or into next year. We don't know when that's going to happen. Expect a lot of chop trying to figure out whether the trend can sustain an upward move or whether it's going to drop. Now, is it going to collapse? Maybe someday. We don't know. But what I keep telling the advisors that I talk to is right now, corporations are buying back their own stock and it's propping up the market. Institutions are buying cheap stocks, cheap meaning really deep value stocks, and new technology that most people haven't heard about yet. That's helping prop up the market. It has so far avoided falling over Niagara Falls, if you will. I know a few have survived that. But that's what nobody wants. I mean, this chop, chop, chop that we're going through leaves opportunities in various sectors of the market. And if you have the standard 60-40 portfolio, you don't do anything about it. Your portfolio really needs to be rotating into areas of strength. Buy leaders and get rid of the laggards. I mean, that's underlying principle that we have in managing our portfolios. Leadership wins, laggards don't, and just simply rotating or rebalancing your portfolio, selling your profitable ones and buying your losers, doesn't solve the problem. And it is one of the factors that's going to make it very, very difficult for investors in a 60-40 kind of portfolio to have decent returns for probably as much as a decade. It's going to take some time for things to return to a more normal financial state, financial relationship state, and then generate profits that offset perhaps a number of years of going nowhere. And that's frustrating. The only way we see around it is rotation. When things aren't working, rotate to the ones that are. Can that be frustrating? Yes, it can, on your end and ours both. But if it isn't working, hanging in there and saying, well, someday it will. Well, you've heard that line before, just not from us. You've heard that line before. Someday it will. That's could be a very, very long road to profitability. So that 60-40 portfolio is going to have some real struggles. Does have some real struggles lying ahead of it.
There we go. Gotcha. Hello there, Don.
You haven't been saying anything.
Did I go quiet for a minute there? Yeah, we had a little technical difficulty on our end, but you tap dance right through. Good for you.
I was beginning to worry about if you were still alive or they right. they called 911 over there.
We just had a little restructuring over here. Yeah, Perry just got fired, so yeah, we're back.
Yeah. Okay, so the problems in the bond market are pervasive, and they're not going away anytime soon. So if you are holding bonds in your portfolio, you should be attending our webinar on Saturday. Register for it at iriradio.com. You want to talk to us today, we still have time, 800-465-8770. You're too shy to be on the radio and talking to the Puget Sound. You want to talk to us privately, we have a phone number during the week, 800-317-9119. That's 800-317-9119. One of the things that people have done, we talked about high-yield bonds and extending maturities to get more yield, to get a higher interest rate payout. One of the other alternatives has been to buy mortgage-backed securities. And before we go there, Perry, let's just take an early break and then come back and we'll finish up our last segment.
Sure. I'd like to remind everyone that we are going to have our April market update on April 2nd, which is next Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning. And you can register for that by going to iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just head to the webinar page and click that registration link, and you will get an email back next week. It's at 9 a.m. Just give that a click. You'll be online with us. And we always walk through current events, what's going on out there right now, what markets look like, what we're doing or what we think about things, and then we always have plenty of time to answer your questions, questions about the market or the economy or specific questions about individual securities that you'd like a second opinion on. It's a really good time to get that done. Again, just go to iriradio.com. We have plenty of time to get your question on the board here this afternoon. If you'd like to give us a call, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770, and Ben will get you all set up with us. Stay with us. We will be right back.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive.
Well, how do you figure out what's strong? Well, we look at it on a basis of, what are you doing for me lately? Are you going up or are you going down? And so instead of looking at the last 80 years to make that assumption, we typically look at the last 4 or 5 weeks. And when we're looking to see, we're looking for confirmation that where we are is being addressed in the market, then there's some shorter term tools that that we can use. And I did that Friday. In our database, you know, we don't use the entire database because not everything's suitable for client portfolios. I mean, some of the stuff's highly speculative. Some of the stuff are very, some of these ETFs are very expensive.
Plenty of stuff we would just simply never use in our portfolio. Yeah.
So, but out of the list, there's over 3,000 exchange traded funds. But I have multiple subscriptions, and I sorted one of them on Friday after the close to see where the breakdown was for what industries and what sectors were attracting investors on Friday. And that's interesting. But what I also found interesting, that out of 3,000 plus exchange traded funds, only 25 were trading above their 50 moving average on Friday.
The 50-day moving average, yeah.
The 50-day moving average. Well, that's pretty narrow.
Yep.
And that's the way the market's been. What we've had is a lot of damage across the market, while the indexes have been supported by institutions who haven't wanted the public to panic. They're trying to avoid the 2008 meltdown. And so far, they've been successful.
That's a big deal. When you have billions of dollars in the market, you don't want that. The last thing you need is selling panic. And so you try to temper things as much as you can with the investment with the investments you have and the money you have to move around the market.
So most of the day, we've been talking about the bond market and people looking for yields, and bonds supposedly are the lifesavers of your account. They reduce portfolio volatility and losses,
right?
Until this year, which they're doing a terrible job of, because they're adding to the problem. So one of the things that people have often sought for additional interest income, or rent, if you will, is investing in either real estate type investments, one of those of which is to invest in a bond secured by real estate. And in the capital market, one of those areas are commercially backed, commercial mortgage-backed securities, CMBSs.
Correct.
And you turn around and you say, well, look at this. I have a mortgage. It's a big mortgage, but I have a great big building that has a long-term lease securing it from a great big company whose name I happen to be familiar with. And you think, well,
seems stable, right? Yeah, exactly. This has got to be a good idea, right?
What can go wrong there? Yeah, well,
sitting in downtown Manhattan, it's like one of the business capitals of the world. We're in good shape here.
So we've talked about things like this before. When the Kansas City Mall of America had a balloon payment, and their real estate property owner said, this isn't going to work, and they gave it back to the bank. Bank had a couple hundred million outstanding, and they sold it at auction for less than half that. Well, here we are. Blackstone is a major owner of real estate, and Blackstone syndicates stuff. You go to Wall Street, they call investors and say, look at this property, 26-story, 621,000 square foot office tower, midtown Manhattan. Mm. So it purchased for $605 million back in 14. Well, just recently, LL Brands, you know who they are, L Brands.
Sure.
And then you probably wouldn't, unless you're from the East Coast, wouldn't know who Davis and Gilbert. But it's a big law firm. When they had almost 16% of the space, L Brands had 77. Both of them walked out the door.
So those are two large occupants, yes.
So the building's mostly empty. It was built in 1950, so it had a $308 million loan for people who were looking for some better interest rate payout, securitized by this single asset, which is now vacant, and there are no rents coming in. Well, and given the track record of these kinds of properties, it will probably sell at auction for about 20% of the loan balance. So not only did the real estate investors take 100% loss, but the safety-minded, secured mortgage investors are going to take about an 80% loss.
Yeah, and that's tough. That's really tough. Like we said, that really is the way that was sold. This is really stable. We're in prime place. But then the pandemic came, and work from home and hybrid working got underway. And now people in those older office buildings are saying, well, wait a minute. We can move to something brand new with better facilities. Oh, yeah, and we need much less space.
So we can less rent,
way less rent, and let's move now. And those older buildings are just getting left out in the cold. There's no one stepping up to say, I'm going to take those.
Well, San Francisco has a big problem. And here in Seattle, I mean, think Amazon.
Sure.
You heard about Amazon leaving Seattle, employee safety issues, trying to get to work. I mean, that's a problem. Now, with Amazon, because everybody knows who Amazon is, want to talk about a Class A quality credit tenant? Sure, I'll take that lease. But Amazon is so big and so powerful and so desirable, they can sign a long-term lease, but with their signature, comes a lot of easy outs. We can walk when we want to, almost. I mean, I've never read the contract, but they
pretty
are
much tied. You've got it though. Yeah,
they are tied into it like an L Brands would have been, or a Walmart would be, or a Walgreens would be. Those long term. I mean, back in the days of tax shelters, I mean, I was involved in some syndications of stores like Albertsons and Pay and Pack. Well, Pay and Pack doesn't exist
pay
anymore.
Pay and Pack. There we go.
Yeah. How about Ernst Hardware?
There we go.
You know, I saw those. Those were 30-year leases. Now Ernst went bankrupt, so that, you know, that wiped that one out. But you got an Albertsons grocery store with a 30-year lease. Guess who's going to make payments for 30 years? Albertsons is. Even if they move out of the space, they are going to keep paying rent. Now they'll try to sublet it to offset some of their costs, but they aren't walking. But that's not happening with these office buildings.
Right.
So if you happen to own any of those commercial mortgage-backed securities, you might be taking a serious look at whether or not you should sell now instead of waiting to find out if the tenants happen to be defaulting.
Because that's another issue that's going to be much longer term. That this is not going to be resolved quickly. The work from home and the hybrid working environment is here to stay, and the full effect of that, of course, is not going to be known for a number of years till this thing unfolds. But that is an additional risk factor that you really need to look at if you bought those thinking you were going to be in a secure position and you bought them just for the additional yield. You may need to take a hard look at exactly where that money's invested.
And it takes rising rents to keep real estate values appreciating.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, there's some replacement cost issues, but if rents are falling because of vacancies or increasing competition, and that's what's happening with any of these older buildings,
right?
It is the vacancies are so high that rent reductions and concessions are just getting hammered. I mean, they are dropping. And that's the only way you can entice somebody to come occupy some space. You're no longer in high demand.
Nope, they're not.
Well, one of the issues that's also changed radically this last year, and we watched it a lot last year, was initial public offerings. I mean, we had a run on initial public offerings. Some of them went directly to market through the regulatory process. Others did joint ventures with what are called SPACs.
The SPACs,
special situations where they can shortcut the registration requirements. And there's a lot of excitement and hype about it. The Wall Street pushes these, and if you're listening to the news, man, they look so exciting. You're saying, man, I missed that one. I missed it. Guess what? You missed out on some big losses because most of them have been absolute failures, causing massive investor losses, so much so that the number of IPOs that have come to market so far this year is way, way below normal. Companies have just changed their mind because they realize they're not going to get what they thought they were. People paid for stuff that, as it turned out, expected sales weren't anywhere close to the estimates.
Correct.
What actually happened. Revenues didn't come close to hitting target.
We've got a caller on the line, Don.
Wow.
Yeah.
Welcome.
We can get in here before the end of the show, Don and Graham.
Oh, he wants to talk about something that we don't have
we'll see.
About.
We'll see.
Try it.
There you go. You're on the air.
Okay, I'm on the air. I'm laughing.
So are we.
Iraqi dinar. Well, I hear all kinds of scuttlebutt about Iraqi dinar, so I don't know, have any idea what's going on, except that they've got a lot of money, and the central bank is they're filed with, and their dinar is going to be worth anywhere from $2 to $15, and I just don't know. I can't put my finger on it. So I just heard you on the radio and thought I'd give you a call and see if you knew anything.
Well, I just, yeah, okay.
That's a good question, yeah.
So I just typed it into our database. Now, we don't follow currencies, so we're not currency traders, which is really, you need to be on, have access to the FX exchange. But, so I typed in, the dinar, and, everything that shows up is, that is a portion of the word of ordinary. So there's, apparently the Iraqi dinar is ordinary. You just left out part of the word.
Well, if it's ordinary, all right, yeah. that's not your field. So.
Not our bailiwick, but I will tell you, Don, you know, that's one of the FX markets, the currency exchange markets, are one of the few markets on earth where they will tell you right up front, if you're an individual trading securities, you are a substandard person on that exchange, and if you happen to get ground up and spit out because of someone else's transaction, that's perfectly fine with them. So it's really a relatively higher risk endeavor to try to get into currencies anyway as an individual. So, you know, proceed with caution. I'm not saying you should not do it. I'm just saying you need to really be aware of where you are and the sandbox you're playing in when you're dipping your toe into currencies.
Okay,
I'm fairly certain that there is not an ETF in the Iraqi IRAQI. I'm just take a quick look here. DINAR.
DINAR.
Yeah, is investing in Iraqi dinar a good idea? Well, there are some questions for you at Investor, or some answers for you at Investopedia. So if you type the question in on your browser, and it'll take you to Investopedia, and that's probably, they take public input to correct stuff. So you'll get some input there, but you're out of our bailiwick.
Right? Okay.
But thanks for being in the audience.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Well, thanks for your honesty. I'll talk again. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Don.
Okay. So we're close to wrapping up the show here. You want to register for next weekend's webinar at 9 a.m. on Saturday, go to irradio.com, irradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website says webinar, a couple of clicks, name and email, and we will get you an attendance link. And if you can't attend, we will... We'll send you a replay link once the recording is done. You want to talk to us during the week? It's 800-317-9119, 800-317-9119. You can email us, help@irradio.com. That's help@irradio.com. And we are out of time for the day. God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless the United States of America. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.